The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or printed impaired. Hello, my name is Naomi Lambert from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will share articles with you from The Assembly, which publishes in-depth reporting on North Carolina at theassemblync.com. Starting today with an article on higher education. Internships are more important than ever. NC universities are working to keep up. And this is an article by Tori Newby. North Carolina universities are working to keep up with students' rising demand for internships amid a bleak job market and skepticism about the value of a liberal arts education. Next to an academic major, the top qualities recruiters are looking for are overwhelmingly internship and industry experience, according to a 2026 report from the National Association of Colleges and Employers. More than 80% of recruiters are seeking those resume lines whereas factors like a school's reputation, a student's volunteer experience, or extracurricular activities are much lower on the list. GPA screening is also less important than it used to be, with about 42% of recruiters looking at grades now versus 73% in 2019, the report found. North Carolina universities are noticing the same trend and trying to connect students with opportunities for practical experience. At UNC Asheville, between 50 to 60% of students complete internships each year, and the Career Center aims to reach 75% by 2030, Director Lisa Mann said. The university pairs students with employers locally and across the state using its network to find matches. I think they're getting the message loud and clear that to get hired, they need to be doing an internship, Mann said. Some schools require internships for certain majors. At Elizabeth City State University, about a quarter of undergraduate majors require an internship, and the Career Center helps match students with employers. Amber Lennon, Executive Director of Career and Professional Development at ECSU, said the university's five-year strategic plan calls for 40% of its students to complete some type of internship by 2030. At UNC Greensboro, programs like nursing and social work require fieldwork, but biology professor Randall Hayes said he wishes there was a similar requirement for the College of Art and Sciences. Those applied fields have, for a long time, had this very intense focus on our graduates need to get jobs, and the old-school liberal arts people have not had that, Hayes said. Hayes has taken matters into his own hands. He attends networking events in his personal time and keeps spreadsheets of non-profit and small business employers to connect his students with. Hayes said less than 15% of biology students at UNCG go on to advanced degrees, and the remainder need support in their postgraduate plans. In short, supply. But there aren't enough opportunities to go around. A 2025 report from Handshake, an online career network, found that securing an internship has become more competitive in recent years, with the average number of applications per internship posted on the site doubling between 2023 and 2025. Handshake is similar to platforms like LinkedIn or Indeed, but universities pay for student accounts and approve employers to advertise early career roles. In January 2025, 41% of students expecting to graduate that year had applied to at least one internship through Handshake, compared to 34% of students graduating in 2023. But over the same period, the number of internship postings available to students fell by 15%. Joshua Morlock is the Human Resources Manager at System Logistics, a manufacturing company based in Western North Carolina. He said his team doesn't post internship opportunities online because hundreds of people would apply. Instead, he attends career fairs and recruits at UNCA and Western Carolina University, and students email him directly to apply. Still, Morlock received 60 applicants for this summer and hired 14 of them. The program started in 2021 with four interns and has grown each year since. System Logistics uses its internship program as a talent pipeline, often hiring more than half of each class to come back full-time. Internships mean that you have had some contact with the material, that you understand what it looks like to work in the environment, and you come with this mindset of, I know what it looks like to be in the field, Morlock said. Networking, applying, and going through several rounds of interviews can take months in some industries. Wake Forest University junior L. Yormack began the recruiting process in August 2025 for a summer 2027 investment banking internship. She started by reaching out to alumni at banks and applied for internship through the summer. Yormack advanced through interview stages and received an offer in March for the next summer. She said Wake Forest's alumni network was one reason she chose to attend the school. Yormack met with counselors at the business school and followed their guidance throughout the recruiting process, she said, but it was overwhelming on top of schoolwork and extracurriculars. Jake Fabrizio, a master's student at UNC Charlotte, said one year he sent more than 400 applications. He completed four internships since arriving at UNC Charlotte for his bachelor's degree and will finish his master's in December. Yes, it will drain you if you let it drain you, but it's also one of the most rewarding feelings when you know you have something, Fabrizio said. The bottom line. Hayes said it's difficult for some of his students at UNCG to plan far ahead and apply to summer internships in the fall semester, especially when they have other commitments, such as jobs outside of school. And securing summer housing, transportation, or pulling away from a part-time job are barriers to working an internship, especially those that are unpaid. NACE opposes unpaid internships and has called on Congress to require compensation. At UNC Charlotte, the Career Center takes a strong stance against unpaid internships and does not promote them, said Amy Browns, Associate Director of Employer and Engagement and Experiential Learning. I do see a fair amount of internships that come across that they're very worthy internships for academic credit, but there's no reason that they should be unpaid, Browns said. Particularly from for-profit companies is where it's really concerning. But even non-profits, we work with them to try to understand how important that compensation is. When employers can't pay their interns, some schools find ways to instead. Duke University student Lauren Blake secured a summer internship at a non-profit in D.C. and received funding from the school's Stand Back Fellowship program, which she learned about through the Career Center. As a public policy major, she's required to have an internship to graduate, a valuable requirement, she said. Having this opportunity where it's paid for and it's solely for Duke students definitely makes it a lot easier to explore that without the pressure of having to get a high-paying internship to live somewhere else, Blake said. She added that the Career Center helped her through the process. Similarly, the internship program at UNCA, launched in 2024, lets students sign up and work with the Career Center to make their application more competitive. The school sends their application to several of its partners and will offer a scholarship if the internship is unpaid. Students, especially students who are working to afford their degree, can't afford to quit a job that is a for sure paycheck to do an unpaid internship, or do an internship that may be paid, but it's only paid for a certain period of time. That's a risk, Mann said. UNC System Universities have a partnership with the State Employees Credit Union, which offers up to $120,000 per school for internship stipends through its Public Fellows Intern Program. Participating students can receive up to $6,000 while they pursue unpaid internships with local governments or nonprofits. But even paid internships can pose barriers, Browns said. She knows two students who had to turn down opportunities that would have been paid through the CQ Fellowship because they couldn't find affordable housing in Charlotte for the summer. Some universities also offer alternatives to internships that still provide work experience. Career centers at ECSU and UNCA use the hiring platform Parker Dewey to promote micro-internships, which are remote, paid projects that often last a few weeks. Schools also offer gig internships or project-based learning, in which an outside organisation offers a project for students to help with during the semester. Hayes said he's been teaching at UNCG for 15 years and he's only seen the importance of practical work experience grow in that time. I thought it was valuable then and I think it's essential now, he said. Well, our next article, as promised, is a healthcare one. Same knee surgery, twice the price. Hospital monopolies push up healthcare costs. And this is an article by Peter Horisky. More than a million times a year, a US surgeon slices open a knee, strips out worn cartilage, caps the leg bones with metal, and drops in a plastic spacer to allow the new joint to glide. While knee replacement procedures have become standard, however, the prices charged have not. At Catawba Valley Medical Center in Hickory, for example, the cost of the procedure under a Blue Cross Blue Shield health plan this year was about $16,000, according to data from Serif Health, a San Francisco startup that collects recently released data from hospital insurers. Little more than an hour's drive west, however, at Mission Hospital in Asheville, the cost of the procedure under the same health plan was around $40,000, or more than double, the data showed. Formed by the merger of the two largest hospitals in the region, Mission has little competition and more power to demand the higher price. This comparison between these two hospitals illuminates how large hospital systems created by a wave of US mergers in recent decades can dominate the competition and push up healthcare costs. While many factors affect the price of a medical procedure, hospitals with few competitors can charge more, health economists say. The hospital price hikes mean patients and their insurers must pay more for an episode of healthcare. But there is an important side effect too, even for people who don't require medical care. When insurers face higher hospital prices, they pass the costs on and raise the prices they charge for everyone else's health insurance. Using Serif Health's pricing data, it is possible to see how mergers like the one that created Mission Hospital influence costs. For years, it was difficult to determine how much hospital monopolies boosted charges, but since 2021, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services has required hospitals to disclose prices, making it possible to gather comprehensive data such as Serif Health's. The connection between market power and prices exists across the country. In Melbourne, Florida, Holmes Regional Medical Center is part of a health system, Health First, that dominates surrounding Brevard County. The centre has charged Cigna two times what a hospital 2 hours north did for a knee replacement this year, the Serif Health data shows. Banner North Colorado Medical Center, which ranks as the leading healthcare provider in Weld County, Colorado, charged a United Healthcare patient $20,000 more for the surgery in Greeley than a health system an hour's drive south in Denver, according to Serif's figures. The American Hospital Association has argued that hospital mergers can improve quality and reduce healthcare costs by creating a fiscally sustainable environment. A Mission Hospital spokesperson said comparing hospitals' prices was unfair or misleading because their practices and constraints vary so much. For years, economists suspected that the run of mergers beginning in the late 1990s was the main driver of the rising costs of US healthcare. From 2002 to 2020 alone, more than 1,000 hospital mergers unfolded in the United States. But until the recent federal disclosure rule, the effect of healthcare monopolies on pricing was often overlooked or harder to detect. Hospitals do not advertise their prices, and even when they are revealed on a bill, patients scarcely notice the bottom line because they don't pay most of it. Their insurers do. What the data shows pretty clearly is that when hospitals have bargaining leverage, they tend to have higher prices, said Zach Cooper, an associate professor of public health and economics at Yale University, who has spent more than a decade studying hospital monopolies. Over the last quarter century, Cooper said, hospital prices have risen faster than those for any other economic sector, and hospital consolidation is one of the primary drivers. Federal and state officials have wavered over when to intervene when hospitals are proposing to merge. Last summer, President Donald Trump revoked former President Joe Biden's 2021 directive that urged federal agencies to challenge mergers that could harm consumers, reversing course from Biden's more aggressive enforcement of antitrust law. In a March memo, however, Federal Trade Commission Chairman Andrew Ferguson called for a task force on healthcare mergers that are leading to higher prices and decreased quality of care. Several states have sought to curb healthcare monopolies. In 2023, Minnesota passed a law banning anti-competitive healthcare mergers and bolstering state oversight. In 2022, California passed a law requiring healthcare businesses to give the state a 90-day notice of large mergers and creating an agency to investigate their effects on competition. And Oregon passed a law in 2021 enabling the state health department to block acquisitions and mergers of hospitals. Nothing has stopped the overall trend, however, as hospitals seek to grow and gain leverage over insurance and competitors. Last year alone, hospital and health systems announced 46 mergers and acquisitions, according to Kaufman Hall, a healthcare business consulting firm. Five ranked as mega mergers, meaning they were valued at more than $1 billion. One merged 28 hospitals across Connecticut and New York into a powerful interstate health system. Another linked Sanford Health and Marshfield Clinic Health System, a deal that created a 56-hospital system across the Midwest, including Iowa, Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Wyoming, with combined revenue of about $10 billion. Other mergers have been proposed in California, Hawaii, and Minnesota. Asheville's dominant hospital. Few places in the United States better exemplify how hospital mergers reshape healthcare than Asheville. In 1998, the state authorized a deal that joined the city's two acute care hospitals, St. Joseph's Hospital and Memorial Mission Medical Center, to create Mission Hospital. Ever since, its effects have been studied and its prices fiercely contested. Marcel Crago, a nurse and lactation consultant, is one of many patients who have accused Mission Health, which operates Mission Hospital, of gouging consumers. Last year, she tweaked her knee while cross-country skiing. "My knee went pop, pop, pop," she recalled. She had torn her meniscus, the rubbery cartilage around the knee that acts as a shock absorber. A doctor advised her to have a portion of it removed. 2 days before surgery, Mission Health told her the total charge would be over $9,000, according to paperwork on her case filed with the state's Consumer Protection Division. "I was shocked at the number." Crago's insurance policy from United Health Group had a high deductible, so she would have had to pay most of it. She decided to postpone the surgery and shop around, eventually arranging to have it done at an outpatient center not affiliated with Mission. There, the bill came to less than a third of the price Mission Health charged, according to paperwork she kept. "The way Mission Health handled the whole thing felt predatory," Crago recalled, noting that when she balked at the $9,000 figure, the hospital offered a 20% discount if she paid up front. It makes you wonder how much they are playing with the prices. In responding to Crago's complaint with the state, an attorney for Mission and HCA Healthcare, which owns the hospital, wrote that the hospital charges represent the cost for supporting the entire episode of care and must cover the hospital's investments in advanced technology, training, staff, and other critical needs. "Patients are certainly entitled to shop around for surgical procedures," wrote the attorney Philip Jackson. It is not just patients who bear the burden of rising hospital prices. Over time, anyone who pays for health insurance pays a price for hospital monopolies, as insurers boost premiums as medical costs rise. The full cost for an employer to pay for an average family health insurance plan rose to more than $27,000 in 2025, up from $21,000 just 6 years ago, according to figures from KFF. Around Asheville, employers and employees complain that their insurance premiums are higher because Mission's prices are so high. As the chef and co-founder of Curate Restaurant in Asheville, a business with about 100 employees, Katie Button provides employee health coverage and believes she has been paying for Mission Hospital's excessive prices, according to a pending class action lawsuit she filed in 2021 with 5 residents who say the monopoly has harmed them. An insurance plan in Asheville must include Mission Hospital, she said, because it is the only one around. This makes the burden of its prices unavoidable. We are where we are because we don't have a choice of hospitals, Button said. There is no other option. The steady creep of healthcare costs is top of mind, not just in Asheville, but for most US voters, according to an April KFF poll. Nearly 2/3 of US adults were worried about being able to afford healthcare, the poll found. Yet, while federal law allows regulators to step in and block mergers deemed to create monopolies, the FTC intervened in only about 1% of such cases from 2002 to 2020 to stop a hospital merger, according to a Yale University study. The FTC has since announced challenges to 5 other hospital mergers. Birth of a monopoly. When Mission Health was formed by a merger in 1998, state officials recognized that Asheville's new dominant hospital system would have the power to raise prices and required Mission to sign an agreement to limit spending and profit margins. Even with these restrictions, the hospital substantially hiked prices, according to economic research cited by the FTC. But Mission's prices were about to go up even more. In 2015, Mission Health lobbied the state legislature to drop the state restrictions, abandoning the profit limits. After 20 years of the hospital behaving itself, the state decided to terminate its oversight, said Mark Hall, a professor emeritus at Wake Forest University, who has written an account of the hospital's merger history. Then, 3 years later, HCA, the largest hospital corporation in the country, bought Mission Health. The Dogwood Health Trust, a non-profit established as part of HCA's purchase of Mission Health, helps fund KFF health news coverage. This put a pre-packaged monopoly into the hands of the world's largest for-profit hospital corporation, Hall said. Across a range of services, Mission Hospital charges more than other North Carolina hospitals, according to figures from Serif Health. Consider the prices that Mission negotiated with United Healthcare compared with those the insurer pays at Catawba Valley Medical Center. For a breast biopsy, United Health pays $7,500 at Mission and $1,700 at Catawba, according to Serif. For a hernia repair, it pays $17,700 at Mission and $9,600 at Catawba. The prices hospitals charge are one of the leading drivers of rising healthcare costs, according to a United Healthcare statement sent by spokesperson Cole Manbeck. Mission spokesperson Katie Zawinski, in a statement, said it can be misleading to compare one hospital with another. Mission Hospital is almost 3 times as large as Catawba Valley Health and is a level 1 trauma center serving a different population, Zawinski said. She also said that pulling individual rates for a comparison paints an incomplete picture. But other figures indicate that prices at Mission Hospital are relatively high, even when viewed collectively. A team at the think tank RAND, led by Christopher Whaley, now a Brown University health economist, uses commercial insurance records to compare average hospital prices across the US relative to those paid by Medicare. According to the RAND figures, Mission Hospital in 2024 charged prices that were 334% of prices set by Medicare. Catawba Valley Medical Center charged 237%. The state benchmark for prices is 280% of Medicare, RAND figures showed. The prices we pay for healthcare vary tremendously and are uncorrelated to the value we receive, according to the RAND website. For many in Asheville, the primary complaints about Mission Hospital focus on the quality of patient care. This is consistent with academic studies showing that the quality of care declines when hospitals have little competition. amid rising complaints about hospital services, North Carolina State Senator Julie Mayfield, a Democrat, helped launch a nonprofit organization 2 years ago called Reclaim Healthcare WNC to hold Mission accountable for its harmful practices. Within a year of the HCA sale, I started hearing stories from physicians and other friends about all the terrible things that were happening there. Mayfield said, most of them caused by severe staff cuts and physicians leaving. 3 times since 2024, state health inspectors working on behalf of CMS have issued immediate jeopardy findings to Mission Hospital, indicating problems so severe that they posed an imminent risk of serious injury or death to patients. In the most recent CMS report, an 88-year-old woman recovering from a fall and hip surgery at Mission Hospital died after going a night without receiving a blood transfusion. Zerwinski, the Mission Hospital spokesperson, said a proposed plan of correction allows Mission to address the findings from the survey and complete a comprehensive review of operations. As more hospitals across the United States plan to merge, Mayfield said, the experience in Asheville represents a cautionary tale. Unregulated monopolies have never gone well for the public. And the author of this piece, Peter Wariski, is a health research director for Public Citizen and a former reporter for The Washington Post and the Miami Herald. I have about a minute to read the headlines from this article in District 11. It's Underdog versus Underdog. Under normal circumstances, the 11th Congressional District shouldn't be competitive. Donald Trump carried it with a 54.2% of the vote in 2024, a stronger showing than he had in any congressional district in the U.S. currently represented by a Democrat. The district's Republican U.S. Representative Chuck Edwards did even better at 56.8%. But Edwards is no longer the Republican candidate, and these are not normal circumstances. A little more than a week ago, the U.S. House Ethics Committee recommended that Edwards be censured over what it called persistent, unprofessional, and inappropriate conduct. A week later, a group of Republicans from the district selected Jennifer Bolcom, a second-term member of the State House, to replace Edwards on the ballot. Now Bolcom faces an uphill sprint to Election Day in a district that should strongly favour the GOP, but has Jamie Ager as the Democratic candidate. And I'm afraid I have to stop there, because it's time to sign off. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope you've enjoyed our episode of the Assembly and those couple of articles about current events. Please be sure to tune in next time. I am Naomi Lambert for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This broadcast is now available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time, and if you have any questions or comments or something you particularly like to know more about, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138.